Hey, listeners, are you getting inspired to dive deeper into your learning of EFFT? If so, head on over to Catherine's website to check out her list of upcoming trainings. Some trainings are focused on combining EFFT with young kids and EFFT play therapy. So head on over to her website and we hope to see you in the future. Check it out at katherinedebruin.com, katherinedebruin.com, and we hope to see you in the future.
Welcome to the Family Express podcast, where our destination is resilient and connected families. Come aboard with your hosts, marriage and family therapists, Katherine DeBruin and Rhonda Evans, to explore the world of emotionally focused family therapy, a model developed by Sue Johnson and colleagues. Together with our guest speakers, our travels will map the EFFT landscape, highlighting lessons learned, shared fears, and the passion and curiosity that bonds our community.
We got a couple of questions from our listeners.
We did.
And also one of them was about our book, and they want to know, why did we write this book?
Well, first off, listeners, thanks for the question. I think it was a passion project for you and me to write the book in the first place. I think overall, we wrote the book to help parents help their kids, especially in those emotionally tough moments, and give parents the confidence to be able to help their kids and kind of feel confident in knowing how to respond to their kid.
That's
what I think.
I love that, wanting to give parents confidence to do a good parenting job, because all parents want to parent well. But one of the worst moments as a fellow parent is when your kid's having a hard time emotionally. Yeah. And you know it and you feel it because you love them so much. Yes. And then you don't know how to help.
Yeah. And then you want to help.
You want to help. But then the things that you do to want to help can just make it worse.
It can. It can make it worse. So I think we're helping parents be able to respond to their kids and feel confident that their response is going to reach their kid. It's going to help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just a practical guide that can even help parents on a step-by-step basis. How are you feeling? Here's a page that has all the possibilities of feelings, and together you and your kiddo can point to one and then talk about it. So we don't even have to worry about how to name a feeling. We've given you a bunch of options.
Love that. I love that. We're helping parents who are tired. We're helping parents who are tired. We got to make it a little easier, right? And so here's a page of how you're feeling. Here's another page about how that feeling might show up in the body, where it might show up in the body, and how that might feel physically to that kid. And we have a page of some ideas about the body.
When human beings experience distress, it lives inside us in different ways. And some of us are aware of it because we just feel yucky. Some of us are aware of it because our body feels painful. Like we get a tummy ache, or we get a lump in our throat, or we get body aches. So some people are more aware of their feelings because there's a body response.
Yes.
Some just know that they feel a certain way. And then other people are just really in their thinking and they're having super negative thoughts.
Yeah, like cut in loops.
Yeah.
Cutting loops in their head, and then loop just keeps going and going.
Don't you know parents who've come in and said, my kid is saying the most awful things.
Awful.
I don't want to live anymore. I'm a person. I'm this. I'm that. That would be a good example of one of those loops.
Yes.
And you hear it as a parent and you're horrified. And then you say to yourself, how can I help my kid? What am I going to do about this?
Yeah. How do I step in? How do I help that loop? And I think this book is a practical guide that can help parents in those really tough spots with their kids.
To walk through their children's feelings.
Yeah.
The problem is that the feelings are the problem. But when you try to push them aside, squash them, make them go away, they just come back bigger.
They do.
See, the only way to deal with feelings is to go through
them
out the other side.
I'm always telling my parents that we have to go where the feeling is, where the hurt is, where the pain is. We can't go, above it, under it, and around it. We have to really go through it. And sometimes parents need some help with how to do that.
Exactly. There is a science to this.
Yeah, there
and
is
marriage
a science
and family
to this.
Therapists and as moms, we know how to have these conversations.
Totally.
And we wanted to make this knowledge accessible to all of you who are in a situation where you're helping a kid express themselves and feel their feelings and understand what's going on inside of them.
Yeah, because to be honest, some of us parents didn't get that walkthrough as kids ourselves. So we don't have that blueprint from our own childhood memories. We can't pull that up. And I think that's part of what I want to do is, you know, influence and impact the world in this way is this is what I would have wanted as a kid. Mm-hmm. I would have wanted to be walked through my feelings. And I think this book helps parents do that.
Yeah.
Do it confidently.
Yeah. Parents are trying so, so hard. And the places that I see them get stuck is I see them leaning into a young child who's melting down in some kind of way and then saying to the kiddo, just tell me how you feel.
Yes. Just, use your words.
Use your words. Use your words. Tell me what's going on and then I can, you know, mommy can try fix it with you. And then I think that like, wow, what a beautiful intention. But then I look at a child who has no idea what they're feeling, why, how to name it.
Yeah.
Simply because of the developmental age they're at.
Developmental age. And also during emotional distress, coherent speech is the first thing to go.
Wow. That's true.
So here we are saying, use your words. And that's the very thing they don't have access to in the moment.
And then that's why we see more distress in a situation like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they get caught in their own little cycle. Yeah. We want to come in and interrupt that and help parents feel confident about what to do to really interrupt that.
So one of the things we recommend in the book is that we just name the experience. Oh, dear. The meltdown came for you again. The tornado is spinning right now.
The volcano's erupting.
Yeah, exactly. And then imagine just being able to sit down with your kiddo, give them a piece of paper, two or three crayons, and say, oh, let's draw it. Oh, my gosh, let's get it out of you right now. I have to hold this with you. Can you show me what it's like? Blech.
Yes, and put it out on paper.
Let's make a picture.
Out of the body's experience and out here. And we do that together.
Yes.
We co-regulate through this experiential exercise that's accessible to kids, paper and crayons and drawing, and we help them in those moments.
And so in the book, we have four characters that we introduce, and we should talk about why.
Oh, yes.
But each of the characters draws what's happening inside of them after this awful event. And they draw completely different pictures.
Different things.
And so it gives some ideas of things to call this meltdown, this emotional turmoil, and also gives ideas of pictures of what that could look like.
And some kids aren't volcanoes and tornadoes. Some kids are lockboxes.
Ooh, locking it down.
Locking
in the vault,
it down in the vault.
It. So that's a good point, which then makes it very hard for the adult to get anything out of them, which means stay away from questions.
Ooh.
Stay away from
practical,
language.
Practical tip from Catherine. Stay away from questions.
And stay away from language, actually.
Ooh.
And let's do something expressive. Let's get their hands moving and make it out of Play-Doh.
Love that. When your kid is like a lockbox vault kid, stay away from language, stay away from questions, and go into expression.
Act it out.
Act it out.
Run it out. Put it on the trampoline.
Oh,
bang it out.
I have to buy a trampoline now.
Right? Imagine like even drumming it out on a table if you don't have an instrument. Or just making a big loud sound on the count of three.
Oh, which one of our characters does in the book? Dinosaur roars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we very intentionally picked these four different characters because what we know is that people tend to have different things they do in these situations. And you do have one type that locks it down deep inside.
Mm-hmm.
You do have one type where everything comes flying out.
Yep. Then we have the type where they go inward, turn inward. We have that one, real quiet.
And then, of course, what we want to work towards is the character who can feel and understand and express.
Ooh, I feel like there's an acronym coming out of that. Feel, understand, and express. Feel, understand, express, and share.
Yeah.
Ooh.
A trouble shared is a trouble halved.
Love that.
What's shareable is bearable.
Oh, that's my favorite. What's shareable is now bearable. Oh, I like that.
And so this book is a practical guide of, I think you can use it in a number of ways. You could read the story and have a discussion about the four different characters and which character does each person in your family relate to.
I like that. Oh, I like So I like talking about each family rather than asking which one is you. It's focusing on the kid.
Don't focus on me again.
Don't focus on me again. Yeah. Let's talk about all of us in my family.
Yeah.
And who does from the child's eyes and perspective, how does the child see their family members? I love that family focus rather than the child focus.
When families come in, that's actually one of my first questions often. I obviously I begin with, what's it like to be a member of this family?
Such a good question.
But after that, that came from Jim Farrow. After that, I will say, how do we know when people in this family are having a hard time? Because we don't all show that in the same way. Some get quiet, some get loud, some get teasy, some get stressed out. And then I say, but families have to know what it looks like for each person when life is too hard.
Yeah.
Because then we know how to go check on them and to take care of them.
We know some things going on.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because actually, I mean, looking at the research, it's often the children who are acting out more that get attention and get into treatment.
Yeah.
But the kids who are internalizing it.
It's
actually more concerning.
I bet there's research that talks about internalizing and health issues. I bet there is.
Yeah, for sure. And there's also research that says that in family systems, if one child is symptomizing and having a hard time, there's a very high degree that other kids are experiencing it too. And so all the more reason to bring in the whole family and then have a discussion like this.
Yes.
And be able to understand that just because a child is very quiet and locking it down, it's not necessarily a good thing. What we're wanting to see is the kid who knows they have a feeling, can talk about it and get support from an adult person.
Love that. And it just emphasizes the importance of the family and like other siblings, right? Like, let's just not focus on one person. Let's focus on how distress and dysregulation shows up in all of the family.
Well, that's so normalizing, isn't it?
Because
if a family comes in or if there is a conversation like this at home, it's likely to be between a power person and then the child who's acting out.
And then
that can simply drive the kid to bury it or to feel more embarrassed. Feel out of control.
Right.
And so this is a very quick way to just equalize things and spread it around the whole family.
Love that,
and
normalize.
Yeah. Like, everybody has feelings. They live in our bodies in different places. Mm-hmm. They tell us different things in our mind, and then they come out of our bodies in different ways.
Mm-hmm. So, Catherine, how can families use our book? What would be your recommendations?
I think families are creative, and there's a couple different things that I have in mind. We've offered a story that's fairly relatable, where something bad happened, and then everybody was affected, but affected in different ways. And then we talk about how they work through their feelings with support. So one could read it and then have everyone relate to a character in the book. I really wanted to make puppets, by the way, that...
I remember that conversation.
Yeah, there are puppets on Amazon that reflect each of the characters. And so you could act it out with the puppets. Everyone could grab a puppet for the one that they feel the most for. Maybe you grab one that they feel the least like. The one they can least relate to.
That. Like different perspective taking.
The other option is that once you've read the story, you can refer back to it and you can go to the back of the book, which is more of a walkthrough guide for what to do when you're having a tough time. So if your kids had a hard day, you can pull them in and just use what the characters did to feel better,
Basically like the second half of the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is a walkthrough self-help guide.
Yeah.
And so you could simply have them draw, name the creation, and then look at the four pages and identify how did they feel, what's happening in their body, what messages are in their mind, and what they want to do. And that organizes what's happening inside of children emotionally. And honestly, once you know this, you have the skill set for life. This sets
Listen to that, parents. Set us up for life, right? If we didn't get this as kids, we're helping our kids get a skill that they can carry for the rest of their lives and maybe pass on to other people.
Like you were saying earlier, where are we ever taught about feelings and emotions?
Yeah.
What we've known for centuries is that feelings are a big problem. They can really mess up your life. And so
we've kept away from them. Yeah.
Right. And once you're feeling so bad as a kid, it's like no matter of talking about it makes it feel better.
Yeah.
Parents can say the very, very best things. And then the kid's like, I still don't feel good.
Feel good.
And it's so frustrating, yeah. Right? But now we actually know the science of how to help a person feel better, how to get that feeling off their chest.
Yeah.
And that happens when it's shared with another human being who can feel it with them.
Yes.
It's also shared by listening to the feeling and trying to understand what the feeling's communicating.
Right. What's the messaging of the feeling? And that can organize that experience and help the kid, in essence, turn it into words.
Because feelings carry what we need.
Oh, say that again, Catherine.
Feelings carry what we need. So feelings are flags. They have information in them. It's sort of like that Mario, what's it called?
Mario Kart game.
Okay. The little Mario Kart's on the screen and then he has to jump up and bump up against a brick.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And as he bumps up against it, the gold is released.
The gold is released.
And when you see this on the screen, you're like, why the heck does he want to keep bumping his head against the ceiling? But then it opens and something comes from it. So if you think about feelings as little carriers of information, and when you decode it,
I love that.
It's go away.
I love that. Right? I love that. So often I hear that the kind of mindset about emotions is that there's negative emotions and there's positive emotions, mm-hmm. and people don't want to go or feel the negative ones. But I try to, like you're saying, I try to reframe it as all emotions just are information. And if we tune into what the emotion's trying to tell you, maybe we can help free you up.
You're so right. I mean, if we could pick and choose, we'd pick all the good ones and let go of the negative ones.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice? Why doesn't it work like that?
Yeah.
In fact, doesn't the research show that the more you can experience your negativity, the make space for it, tolerate it, the bigger the positive emotions can also feel inside of you.
So research about that. Let's find that.
Unfortunately, it's a package deal. Okay?
Yeah, it is.
And unfortunately, human beings feel, and we can't get rid of feelings, but then we'd lose our humanity.
That's what makes us human.
So
we're not robots.
Let's learn to deal with it.
Let's learn
how to decode them. Let's see emotion as little packages of information that have important
messages
about what we're needing.
Right. There we go.
So, and here's just the rule of thumb to make it simple. Okay. If you're sad, it's because you lost something.
So sadness is about loss. Okay, yeah. Keep going. This is great.
Okay. If you're angry, that's because you're asserting yourself. It means you have to protect yourself from something.
Okay.
That doesn't feel good.
Okay. If you're anxious, if you're afraid, if you're scared.
No, now you're getting away from me, Rhonda.
Okay.
Too much information.
Too much information. Sounds good. We'll do that.
That's it for today, folks. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again for our next journey.